desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I am so glad today that we serve a caring God. I was thinking as that song was being sung of a picture that I saw of Jesus, somebody's illustration of Jesus. And in this particular picture, Jesus wasn't sober. He was smiling, a big smile. And I think about Jesus loving us and approaching us with a smile and with an offer to help us in our time of need, because we are all in great need and we all fall. All of us have places in our lives where we stumble and we wish that we could do it over again and wish that we could have done better. The enemy likes to come in and try to crush us and discourage us, cause us to, you might as well just stay down there where you are. You've fallen, no need to get up. But Jesus comes with a smile and with an offer of help. He comes with outstretched hands. I'd just like to encourage each one today to be encouraged, to look to the Lord with hope and with an understanding that He came to save us. He didn't come to the world to find reason to push us down and destroy us, but He came to save us. Let's be encouraged today in Jesus Christ. I'd like to continue on this morning. We've been talking about being firmly planted in the Lord. Go ahead and write that on the board again. And Lord willing, this is part three and the final part. We have been studying from the book of Ezra about a committed, earnest people who, after being in captivity for 70 years in Babylon, were given the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem that they might rebuild the temple of God. And they were a people that were willing to go back and do the will of God that came out of the king of Persia's mouth, King Cyrus, king of Persia, because the Lord stirred it in his heart that a temple be built to the Lord God of heaven in Jerusalem. And so there were those that were stirred by the Spirit and that were willing to rise up from the land that they were in captivity. And we also have made note of the fact that they were in a land that was very progressive from the standpoint of prosperity. They were advanced compared to probably what they had come from. And there were those that were willing to leave the prosperity of that land and go to rebuild the temple of the Lord in the face of opposition. They faced enemies. They faced those that did not want the temple of the Lord to be rebuilt. But this people rose up and they went and they worked and they labored and they sacrificed to do the will of God, regardless of what it was that they faced. And we find that they knew the law, they followed the law, and they were willing to sacrifice those things in their life that required them to do something that went against the flesh, where they found opposition. And we have focused on the fact that the Lord doesn't want us to be any less committed. God does not want us to be any less of an earnest people in this time. He wants us to be willing in this day of an age to be willing to go and be a temple for Jesus Christ. To be a temple that His Spirit can come and live in, even in the midst of opposition. He wants us to live in a way that we honor Him in body and in spirit. We honor Him by the conduct of our lives. We honor Him by the spirit of our lives. And we left off in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Maybe as a refresher, we'll just read two verses. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "What?" And then it had a question mark. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So Paul is exhorting us here that we are not our own, but we belong to God. The Lord comes and He invites us to come unto Him, all ye that labor. We are all in a place without God where we are going to labor against something that will have dominion over us, and that is sin. And with sin, there is consequence. And that consequence serves to cause every individual to be in a place where you are not satisfied, where you are not at peace. As long as we live in sin without God, we will live a life where we are not at peace. We might find temporary pleasures in life, and we will. We will not be able to lay down in our bed at night and be able to have the peace of God in our hearts that allows us to rest in a way that there is no other way to rest. And the Lord invites us to come and enter into the rest that He has prepared for us. The Sabbath was a representation of the rest that Jesus Christ brought for us by salvation, by forgiveness of sins, that we could not attain on our own. But the Lord paid the price. And then He invited us to enter in to that rest. And when we enter into that willingly, when we are willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I want You to be God of my life. Lord, I give myself to You. I give my life into Your control. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." When we do that, we willingly give ourselves over into the hands of God, and at that place, we are yielding ourselves to Him. Therefore, Paul said, "Ye are not your own anymore, because you've been bought with a price. You've been purchased with the price of the blood of the cross that was shed for your salvation, that you might be able to enter into the rest that Jesus Christ has for us." And when we enter into that place, then our cause becomes that we would glorify the Lord in our body and in our spirit, in a way that allows the Lord to shine through our lives, where sin no longer reigns in our life anymore, but we allow Jesus Christ and His grace to reign in our lives, that we might then glorify the Lord in our body and in our spirit, that we would be a light to those that are in darkness. Did you know that the Lord wants you to be a light to those that are in darkness around you? That is a place that God has for every one of us to fill. We wonder, well, what is my place? What does the Lord want me to do in His kingdom? Every single one of us have a unique place with a sphere of influence, with people that are around us in a unique way that maybe they're not around other people. Our place is to shine the light of Jesus Christ by the conduct and by the spirit of our lives, that they might see Jesus in us. And we can't do that if sin reigns in our lives. And so, Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? There is a teaching that is broad in the world today that teaches that sin you will, sin you must. There is no power over sin, but that is why Jesus Christ came, to forgive us of our sins, to provide grace to us that as we continue in sin, that He will cover that. And they have it partly right. Jesus Christ did come with grace and help to forgive us from the sin that is in us, but He also brought a grace and a power and a help such that sin no longer needs to be king of our lives. No longer do we need to be in a place where we are the servant to sin, where sin reigns on a daily basis, but that the Lord came to give us grace and help during our time of need. And so Paul said in Romans 6 and 1, don't just say, well, shall we just continue in sin so that the grace that Jesus Christ brought to us, that grace can just abound more and more and more because we just continue to sin more and more and more. He said, no, God forbid. That's not what the plan was. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer? And then he said further down in the 6th chapter, maybe we'll just turn there. In the 6th chapter of Romans, in the 12th verse, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. What's our mortal body? Is that after we get to heaven? That's immortal, right? This is mortal. So he's talking about our lives here in this earth. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It's pretty clear. He's talking about that we no longer live a life where we obey the lust of the flesh. The lust that of the eyes, those things that would draw us in the flesh, that would cause us to do those things that are contrary to holiness and righteousness. And so he said, don't let sin reign in your life in a way that you would obey the lusts that draw you to that sin. Now listen to verse 13. Neither yield ye your members, my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, that I would not give my members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's pretty clear. But yield yourselves, but instead of doing that, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, those that are alive and have died out to sin, as your members, as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? It's almost like Paul was anticipating what their next comment or what their next question would be. It's like, but we can't possibly live. Paul repeatedly, more than one time, was trying to get across that the Lord has a life for us to live where we don't have to be in bondage to sin any longer, but that He is calling us to a place where He will perfect us, where He will help us. Will we fail? Will we fall short? Are there places of unrighteousness in our lives that the Lord wants to reveal to us that we can grow in grace? Yes. But do we live a life where we just say, well, I don't have any power over sin. Sin just is going to reign over me. I just can live however I want to live and know that the grace of God is going to forgive me. No, the plan of salvation brings us more power than that. Jesus Christ came to bring us a power that enables us to live a life that we before were not able to live. And so Paul said, yield your bodies, your members, as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey. In other words, if we obey sin, if we follow after sin, if we yield our members as instruments to sin, well, sin is of the devil. And so he's saying, you then are then the servant of the enemy. If that's what you yield yourself to, then that's what you will be a servant to. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience under righteousness. So if we give ourselves to serve the Lord and righteousness, then that's who we will be a servant to. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You used to be the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. And there are other authors in the Bible that say virtually the same thing. We won't take the time this morning. 1 John, the third chapter. John says virtually the same thing. We see then why we are called unto holiness. We see then why the Lord is calling us to be dedicated and consecrated, set apart unto God, sanctified for His use. It doesn't mean that I come down at the altar of prayer and when I get up, there is no more room for improvement in my life at all. I have power over everything so that it no longer will ever touch me. I will never have another thought that's wrong. I will never stumble again. No, it's that I have given myself to the Lord, I have consecrated, I have dedicated, I have committed, I have turned away from my own way and said, Lord, I want to walk after your way. Lord, take me, use me, help me to grow. Show me, Lord, where I am weak. Show me where I am unrighteous. And by your help and by your grace and by your strength, I can grow in you. In a way that sin no longer has to have dominion over me. The only way I can live that way is if I invite the Lord to come into my life and let Him live in me and have a place in my life. And so the challenge this morning is, where are we planted? Where are you planted? Where is your focus in life? What is the most important thing to you in this life? What causes the fire to light in your heart and in your mind? What is it that you're trying to achieve? When you get all done with this life, what do you want the testimony of your life to be? What really is going to matter? It's a serious question. And there's consequences to the decisions that we make. I want to be firmly planted in the Lord. I want to do His will. I want to know the Word. I want to follow the Word. I want to be dedicated to it. I want to be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to remain firmly planted in the Word of the Lord. There are winds of the world that will come and blow against us. There are things that will come and try to uproot us. I don't want to be uprooted. I want to be firmly planted in the Lord. I want to have a faith that helps cause me to stand when the storms come. I want to have a faith like these people that results in a from the heart earnestness that causes me to continually regard the Lord as the Israelites did that left. They went about rebuilding the temple of the Lord, and in the meantime they offered up sacrifices morning and night. They knew what the law was. They knew what God wanted from them. And so they lived their lives each day endeavoring to rebuild, to build a temple that was acceptable and meet for the presence of Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, gave themselves to understanding the word of the Lord and following it. You see the parallels? That's what God wants from us today. God wants us to be the temple of God. He wants us to understand the word of the Lord. He wants us to know what He wants from us in life. And He wants us to be obedient to it. He wants us to be willing to sacrifice for it. He wants us to glorify Him in body and in spirit so that those around us can see the Lord shine from our lives and find hope in Him. Thank the Lord. Well, when is the right time to do this? Maybe after we get out of our teenage years. You know, that's a time where you're the strongest and you have a lot of desires and there's a lot of things to see. Maybe wait till you get past your teenage years, then think about committing yourselves in that way. Well, maybe wait till your 30s. Maybe it'd be more convenient if you wait till you're in your 40s and 50s. You know, people that get in their 40s and 50s, it just seems like they kind of get past that exciting time of life and you can just kind of settle down, and maybe that's a good time of life to apply yourself. Maybe just wait till the end of life. Try to have a thief on the cross experience. Maybe that'll work out. No, absolutely not. Today is the day. Now is the time. There is no time to waste. Today is the day of salvation. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." This is our time. God wants us to recognize this is your day. He wants us to be awake to that. He wants us to be alive to the fact that He sees where we are. He knows where we are. He put us here at this time for a reason. And He doesn't want us to think that somehow we're just lost in the multitudes. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And He wants us to be alive to that and redeem the time. This is the day that we have. Tomorrow is not promised. I don't know if I'm going to have tomorrow, but I have today. And I want to be a light for the Lord. Our mission, our reasonable duty, our cause is to be firmly planted in the Lord that we might glorify Him in body and in spirit. I'd like to close out this series by now going back to Ezra chapter 3. Again, Ezra, you can find Ezra right after 2 Chronicles. Ezra follows 2 Chronicles. Ezra 3 and verse 10. I want to read 10 through 13, and I ask you this morning, listen as I read. Listen to these verses. Put yourself there. We're fast forwarding now, and we're going to close out, but we're fast forwarding to when the foundation of the temple had been laid and was completed. And it said, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted." Again, put yourself here. They got the foundation laid and they gathered everybody together around there to lift up their hearts to the Lord. And they began to sing together in unison. And they began to praise and give thanks to the Lord for His mercy. And it said, all the people shouted. All the people that were there shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many, now listen, But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men. Now it's talking about some of the oldest ones that were there in that assembly at that time. That had seen the first house. They had seen the first temple. And now they were back. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. And then the 13th verse, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Well, it's moving when you think about this and you put yourself in their place. There were those that were there, ancient ones of old, it said, that no doubt remembered the original temple. And they remembered the glory of the Lord that came down and filled that temple and the presence of God. And they, perhaps they wept because of what had been destroyed. And maybe they wept for joy at the same time because the temple had been, the foundation had been laid again. And then there were other people that didn't know anything about it except from what they had heard about the original temple. But they saw the foundation of the temple that had been laid, and all of them together, both sets of people, with earnestness and love for the Lord. Their sacrifice of thanksgiving and weeping was offered up to God in heaven, and it was heard from afar. Now please give ear to the last words of this series. God is looking for a people today. God is looking for a people today who have the same type of earnestness. He's looking for a people who have the same testimony of love for Him that is willing to leave a place of prosperity where our flesh may be satisfied. He's looking for a people who are willing to glorify Him in body and in spirit. He's looking for a people that are willing to give themselves to knowing what His Word is and are willing to follow His Word regardless of what we face. He is looking for a people that desire to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost might live and dwell in our lives. That the testimony of our life, the testimony of our conduct, the testimony of our spirit is heard afar. May God help us. I don't want to live in a way that it's all bottled up, that it's so internalized and I'm so focused inwardly, and that I don't apply myself in the way that God wants me to apply myself, that I don't have anything on hand that can extend outward. It doesn't mean that God is calling us all to go out and with a high decibel from our vocal cords shout and praise, although there's room for that. And you all are welcome to shout and praise anytime you want. You don't have to bottle that up in here either. You're welcome to use your lungs to praise the Lord. That's a good thing to do in the house of the Lord. But more than that, the Lord wants us to find an experience with Him. Like those ones of old that knew something about the old temple of the Lord and were acquainted with the presence of God that was in that temple, and it was personal to them. That's why they were shouting and weeping, because it was personal. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. That's why He wants you to be the temple. Because He wants His Holy Spirit to come in and dwell in your life, in your heart, and make it personal where you have a relationship that, Lord, thank You for who You are. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness of sin. Thank You, Lord, for the light of the truth. Thank You for calling me out. Thank you, Lord, for setting my feet on solid ground and putting a new song in my heart. Lord, help me to be a dependable servant of Jesus Christ in this world and live in a way where He can shine out that we are the light of the world, Jesus said. You're the light of the world. Let's live that way so that people from afar, people outside of myself, will hear the praise and thanksgiving and see the love, not of religion, not of just a set of rules and let me sit you down and tell you all about my religion, but that we would be able to shine forth Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ, that reaches our hearts, that sets us free from the bondage of sin, that gives us the peace in our heart that every single person desires to have. May God help us today to be firmly planted in the Lord. Oh, this morning, let's be challenged. Let's be challenged to dig a little deeper, that we can be firmly planted in the Lord in a way that we are able to honor and glorify the Lord in body and in spirit, so that one of these days, when the Lord comes back and He calls our name, whenever that may be, at a time unexpected, at an uncertain time, that He will come back and find me diligent about my Father's business, that He is shining forth out of my life, and that when I come and stand before the Almighty God, that Jesus Christ will be standing by my side, holding my hand, able to declare to His Father, "This is one of mine." That we might be able to hear those words, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.